The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, it's been a good night already, amen. And I realize that also tonight, after the service, that we have the men's dodgeball. And if you've never seen men's dodgeball before, I think you ought to go just to watch them. And it is a sight to be seen. It really is. Some of our men have the ability to duck and roll at the same time. And it's just a sight to see. And you'll enjoy the fellowship. Fellowship is good. Now, I'm starting a brand new series. There's only been a couple of times. I've been your pastor for almost 9 years, coming up in February. But there's been very few times on Sunday night where I've taught a series. Now, I'm sort of like a serious fella. I'm a serious fella on Wednesday night. And so I'm teaching Preserving the Christian Home on Wednesday night. And I love doing series because you can dive deep in and you can come up and be able to learn and grow. And I like the Wednesday night Bible studies. If you've not yet come, you ought to come and check it out. But on Sunday night, very seldom do I ever teach a series. But I felt led of the Lord while on vacation. And isn't it neat to be led by God while on vacation? And, you know, serving God never stops no matter where you are, whether you're in the Smoky Mountains or whether you're in the Sahara Desert. It doesn't matter where you are. If you walk with God, God's going to show you things, and so it is. And so we're going to do a series for a little while on Sunday nights on Christian living. And what I want to do is I want to hit some practical things of Christian living that will help us to be better Christians. And so tonight the subject matter is this, and that is how to fellowship. You know, proper fellowship is very important. Sometimes we think that things are so simple they need not to be taught about, but it's the simplest things I find in the Christian life that many people stumble over and fall and do not know the right direction in which to go. Your fellowship, I'll submit to you tonight, will either make or break your future. Who you fellowship with, the way you fellowship, the who that you fellowship with can get you in or out of the will of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 9, the Bible says, I write unto you, it says in an epistle, not to keep company with fornicators. Now, wait a minute. God's saying that there is a group of people that he says do not keep company with. Now, what is fellowship? Fellowship is keeping company with. It's coming together, and it is something that ought to be done on purpose and with intent. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, Paul continues, the Bible says, but now I write unto you that ye keep not, or that you not keep company, it says, with, it says, that is called the brother be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. It says, with such, listen to it now, and a one not to eat. So he said, not only should you not keep company with them, don't even eat with them. All right? Now, so God lays down some principles here when it comes to people that you ought not to keep company with. Why? Because the people that you keep company with, they will influence you. Oh, you say, preacher, I have no desire as a young single adult to give my purity away before that which is the marriage walk and before I say the I do. Well, can I tell you, normally people don't start off deciding that they're going to give their purity away. Here's what takes place. It starts with a touch, and then it starts with a handhold, and then it starts with a hug, and then it starts with a kiss. And then it starts going progressively downhill. Now, that's how come the Bible says it's not good for man to touch a woman. So all of a sudden now, here comes a boy, and the boy says, woo, he says, I like you. And you say, woo, I like you too. And he says, I'll tell you what, I like to get a kissy-wissy. You say, pucker up, big boy. Pucker up, big boy. Now, I'm teaching you what to say. I'm helping you out. You say, pucker up, big boy, and get a juicy one ready. Then you take that high heel shoe off, and you cock her back, and you let her rip so that he winds up in Hawaii somewhere. Now, you say, well, why are you saying something like that? Well, I like for our young people to be able to do right all the way to that which is the marriage altar. Now, can I say this? Who you keep company with. If you are keeping company with the wrong type of people, if they're heading down the wrong direction, it's going to be trouble. Now, I do believe in fellowship. Matter of fact, in most churches, they have what they call fellowship halls. They have what they call fellowship meetings. They have fellowship activities. Some churches even have fellowship directors. All right, so I believe in fellowship. I think that you should fellowship in a way that you always keep God first in your fellowship. The average person does not think about God being in their fellowship. But every person is in the ministry to be able to fellowship the right way. By the way, who you fellowship with will affect your marriage. Who you fellowship with will affect your child rearing. Who you fellowship with will affect your demeanor, will affect, if you will please, the way that you are in the presence of another. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, proving that was acceptable unto the Lord. The Bible says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. All right? So God says that when darkness enters in, you're supposed to do what? You're supposed to reprove them. Now that lets me know there should be some guidelines when it comes to fellowship. I think people get it confused. People think when they're sitting around and just talking that that is called fellowship. I submit to you tonight that when you're sitting around and you're just talking without a purpose, without it being something that is distinctively driven to accomplish a cause, your fellowship and your talking always goes south. You want to be very careful that you fellowship the right way. Can I tell you, the best of friends are those that fellowship while working for God. People get to know people better if they're working a bus route together, if they're ushering together, if they're singing in a choir together, if they're involved in some type of ministry together. Even the husband and the wife have common denominators. What is that, preacher? Well, they want to raise their children right. So what are they doing? They're working together. You know, I find this out to be true as a marriage counselor. Most of the time, when child rearing days are in, there is not as much fussing as there is when they're out. Why? Because you have a purpose. You're trying to help your children. You're trying to live for God. Yes, but you're also trying to live for your children. You have a purpose to try and build a family. People sitting around talking many times winds up getting themselves in trouble. Many times a person that just sits around and all they do is talk, 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 but they never work together, they have nothing to talk about that's meaningful and deep. So let me give you some ideas tonight about fellowship. Statement number one, fellowship should never be all about you. Fellowship should never be all about you. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This is not talking about having friends. This is talking about being a friend. It is more important that you be a friend than if you have a friend. You can go all through life and not have a friend, but you should never go through even a portion of your life without being a friend. You know, the person that will influence you in that fellowship will also influence your wife through you because of the fellowship. The person that you fellowship with will influence your children through you, will influence your grandchildren, your employees, will influence, if you would please, your church and your friends through you. Don't go out to fellowship with someone that you're afraid might lead you in the wrong direction. And it might harm your wife, might harm your children, your grandchildren, might harm those that are your friends. Protect your fellowship. Be careful about it. Now, be careful about it in such a way that you can help people. Don't be in it for what you can get out of it. Be in it for what you can give to someone else to help them be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say, statement number one, fellowship should never be all about you. Statement number two, fellowship always, think about this, fellowship, may I say, always should allow, if you will please, influence. But may I say that fellowship allowing influence sometimes is the wrong type of fellowship. You have to be careful that when you fellowship with somebody, and can I say this, as a leader, I love the fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul-winning, separated Baptist preachers that stand for something and fall for nothing. But can I tell you, I don't always fellowship with every preacher. Sometimes a person can have a right doctrinal stand, but have a wrong attitude. And if they have a wrong attitude or a wrong spirit, it could hurt me. So I want to be careful. I'm saying this tonight, that the Christian should be about serving God. The Christian should be about serving others. You find those that are serving right. If you hang around somebody tonight that is weak-minded, you're going to pick up possibly some of their traits. If you hang around somebody that's a critic tonight, they will influence you. If you hang around an unforgiving type of person tonight, they will influence you. If you hang around somebody tonight that has a stem of hatred in their heart, they're going to influence you. If you hang around somebody tonight that is causing strife, they're going to influence you. The negative, stinky type of attitude, that will influence you. You cannot take a bushel of good apples and put a bad apple in there, and all of a sudden, that bad apple becomes good because of the fact the other apples are good. No. Normally you take a rotten apple and you put it in a bushel of good apples, and the rotten apple will affect the good apples. So be very, very careful about that which is your fellowship. You have a person that has mononucleosis, and that person has mononucleosis. You can put that person that has mino in a room, and everybody else is well in the room. That doesn't mean that just because you put him in the room that he's going to walk out healed. But what does happen? What does happen is it spreads to other people in the room. So you have to be very, very careful about your fellowship. You have to be careful about your children's fellowship. Fellowship should never be all about you. Shouldn't be about you. Should be about the Lord. Should be about others. Fellowship allows people to influence people. Fellowship, statement number three, should be for the sake of others. For the sake of others. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, praying us, it says, with much entreaty. It says that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. So here you see that fellowship was done for the purpose of serving other people, ministering to their needs. Someone says that, I just don't like that. I feel like that, and I've heard this before, I just feel like, preacher, that this thing about being spiritual, I just like to take a break from spirituality. You should never want to take a break from spirituality, because you, as a saved person, are supposed to be spiritual 24 hours a day, all the days of your life. You're not supposed to take a break. You're not supposed to take a break and walk away from God. You're not supposed to do that. By the way, as a true believer in Christ, you cannot walk away from God. Oh, my Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And can I tell you something tonight, friend? If you will let God reign inside of your life, you'll find out that there will be victory around the corner. But if you don't let God reign in your life, you're going to find out that you're going to have trouble by and by. And before you know it, you'll be hurt, if not even yet destroyed. I'm saying this, you can't take a break from Christianity. You can't take a break from Christianity no more than you can take a break from being saved, which is being a Christian. Statement number one, I said fellowship should never be all about you. Statement number two, fellowship allows people to influence people. Stand up, Brother Jonathan, if you will. And so if we spend enough time together, and I don't know him real well, now I do because he's my oldest son. But if we spend enough time together and I don't know him real well, guess what? I will. I will. Normally, we'll start to talk about things that are non-offensive. Normally, we'll start to talk about goals and dreams. But if we spend enough time together, it will always come down to people. It will always come down to people. When you're spending so much time with somebody else that you've got to talk about people and run them into the ground, you're spending too much time together. Can I help you out a little bit more? When you're spending so much time together that you've got to run somebody else in the ground and start talking about them and talking about how bad they are, then you're spending way too much time together. Now, thank you. Be seated. Watch this, if you will. Statement number three, I said, fellowship should be for the sake of others. Statement number four, fellowship that is wrong should be stopped. Fellowship that is wrong should be stopped. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15. And what concord hath with Christ with Belial? The Bible says, and what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Oh, listen, it doesn't stop there. Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then he says this after he declares, and they shall be my people. Here's what he says. Wherefore? So there's something that he says you ought to do as his people. By the way, he just made a very strong statement. He said, I want you to know. He says that I shall be your God, and ye shall be my people. And then he makes a very strong statement. He says, wherefore, verse 17, 2 Corinthians 6, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Later on, he says, and I will be a father unto you. That's an intimate relationship. You know the reason some people don't have an intimate relationship with God? I'll tell you why, dear friend. Because they got one foot in the world and one foot in church. They've got one foot in an unholy book, and they got one foot in the holy book. They got one lifestyle in and they got another lifestyle out. And the Bible says here that there ought to be a time when you just decide enough is enough and I'll have to break off the fellowship. What are you doing fellowship when somebody's going to bars? What are you doing fellowship when somebody's going down to the dope house? What are you doing? What are you doing fellowshipping with somebody that listens to dirty music and that watches dirty stuff? I'm saying that there ought to be a time in your life when you come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. The Bible says in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, says, mark them which cause division, offenses contrary. Doesn't say contrary to what you believe. I really kind of think that God could care less what you believe. Amen. But he says this, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Doctrine. Truth. For some reason, we care more about persons than we do about principle. Oh, you do good with your facial expressions. Come here. Yeah, come here. This is what gets us. This is what gets us. Stand right here. I've got a friend, and we're always having fun together. I mean, it's just, we're just having a good time. I mean, we're just enjoying life. Yeah, it's just really, really good. I mean, man, we're playing basketball together. Woo-wee! Yeah. Man, I mean, we're going out golfing together. Woo-hoo-wee! Oh, yeah. And but then one day, he starts to do something he should not do. He's sneaking around. I don't know what he's doing, but apparently he thinks... Apparently, he's doing something he thinks he should not do. and then all of a sudden, I have a choice to make. Either I go in cahoots with him. Or I decide I'm not going to do that. But here's what the problem is. He's my friend. This is where the average teenager has a hard time of standing up for what is right. Because he's my friend. I don't want to hurt his feelings. I mean, woe is me. I don't want to tell his mom and the daddy what he's doing because, after all, he's my friend. I mean, after all, if I tell on him, he'll never be my friend again. So therefore, I'm just going to go ahead and let him ruin his mind. Because after all, I love him. I love him so much that I don't want to intervene in his life to try and rescue him, because after all, it may hurt his feelings. Now, how far are you going to go with that? All of a sudden, the young person says, well, I think I'm going to commit suicide. Well, I don't want to tell anybody because after all, he's my friend. And then he does commit suicide. You have to live with that the rest of the days of your life? How far you want to go with that? Why can't you be a friend that cares so much that you try to intervene and all of a sudden he starts to do something wrong and you step in and you say, what are you doing? That's not right. I said, it's not right.
I think it's fine.
I don't care what you think.
I think it's fine.
I'm trying to rescue you.
Give it back.
No. Now, wait a minute. I do have muscles. But what you do is you just kind of let him go.
Right.
Now, can I submit to you? That's not, he says, hey, come on, man, let's go out. Hey, come on, let's go out. Nobody will know. Let's go out. Your mom and daddy's gone. Nobody will find out. Hey, what about God? What about choosing to live for God? What about choosing to please God? What about putting God first in your life? What about deciding that you could be the right type of influence and help him to do what is right instead of trying to follow along and submitting yourself to him? Why don't you try and help him? I submit to you, I don't think you're a true friend. I submit to you, I don't think you're really the caring friend that you're pretending to be. Because if you were really the true friend and the caring friend that you say that you profess to be, you're not going to let him continue to go down the cesspool because you know it's going to ruin him. So what am I supposed to do? No, don't do that. I want to help you. Come with me. Let's sit in church together. Let's listen to the preaching. By the way, can I tell you, preaching will change lives. Amen. When you get them under old-fashioned, don't do this. Don't say, well, church is just church. Well, no. Hey, you've got a Bible. The Bible is true. Old-fashioned preaching still changes lives. You get them underneath preaching, and you watch what God will do in their life. But you just let them go down the wrong path, right. They're going to wind up destroyed. Right. You parents are that way. Well, I don't want to tell my little boy that he can't play less than 9 hours a day on video. Because he just might rebel. He's already rebelling and you don't even know it. What is your problem? I love you, but you've slept on your side so long, your brain done rolled outside your ear. I submit to you, the daddy that truly loves his son is going to say, enough is enough. But we don't have that today, do we? We have passive parents. I don't want to hurt little Johnny's feelings. So I'll just let little Johnny smoke and dope. I'll let him run around. I can't tell him to go to bed at 10 o'clock. He may get mad at me. So he stays up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning playing some ridiculous, foolish game. He's learning how not to have character to get up and work. Hello? You still love me? Say amen. Now watch this. Thank you. Be seated. You did a horrible job. Well, he does good with those faces, doesn't he? Bible says in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, let me reread it. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now watch it. Now watch it now. Look down, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians, we're in Romans now. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. The Bible says, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world. See, the thing is, you can take and sit in Sunday school and enjoy it. And then you get with your friends that are telling the bad jokes, watching the dirty films, listening to the rock music, and enjoy it too. Somewhere, something is not right. How can you be that way? I'm saying statement number one, fellowship should never be all about you. By the way, you show me who your friends are, and I'll show you who you really are. Because friends of a feather do flock together. Fellowship allows people to influence people. Fellowship should never be for, fellowship should be for the sake of others. Statement number four, fellowship that is wrong should be stopped. You know, let me give you this last statement almost. Here it is. Fellowship with good people influences good things in your life. When you fellowship with good people, by the way, if you fellowship with a critic, eventually you have the tendency to become critical. When you fellowship with a grump, you have the tendency to become a grump. When you fellowship with a whiner, you have the tendency to become a whiner. When you fellowship with a joyful person, you have the tendency to become a joyful person. When you fellowship with a forgiver, you have the tendency to become a forgiver. When you fellowship with a wise person, you have the tendency to become a wise person. When you fellowship with a fool, you have the tendency to become foolish in your endeavors. When you fellowship with that which is loyalty, you have a tendency to become loyal. When you fellowship with somebody that's excited, you have the tendency to become excited. Somebody said this, weak-minded people always talk about people. Weak-minded people always talk about people. By the way, if you have a teenager, when they come home at night, all they do is talk about people, and all it is negative. If I were you, I'd check their Bible reading out. Because probably they're not doing it. Weak-minded people always talk about people. Average-minded people, someone said, always talk about things. Things. They talk about things. Strong-minded people or great-minded people always talk about truth. Truth. What you got out of the Bible. How you could help, if you would, with that truth. So let me ask you tonight, are you a weak-minded person? Can I ask you tonight, are you an average-minded person? Can I ask you tonight, dear friend, are you a solid, a great-minded person? Last statement, I said this, fellowship should never be all about you. Statement number two, fellowship allows people to influence people. Statement number three, fellowship should be for the sake of others. Fellowship that is wrong, statement number four, should be stopped. Statement number five, fellowship with good people influences good things in your life. And let me give you a last statement. Fellowship with God should always be top priority. Amen. Should always be top. Okay, watch this. Stand, please. Brother Palmer worked for Dr. May, tremendous man of God, tremendous pastor. For many years, 25 years, pastored this great work. When Dr. May left and felt led of the Lord to leave, to follow the will of God in his life, and I became pastor, he transferred his loyalty from Dr. May to Brother Wells. That in itself is a challenge. Like many of you that were under Dr. May, you did the very same thing. That's, by the way, why you're still here. Now, wait a minute, watch this. He and I are good friends. Very seldom do we ever go out to eat. I can't think of many times on the hand where he and I took a trip, except if maybe he was going to sing in the same conference or church I was going to preach in. But yet we're good friends. I know him pretty well. Now why? Because we labor together. We labor together. He works for me, does a fine job, just like these other men, by the way. But we don't spend time going to play golf together. We don't. I don't even know how to play golf. Don't get mad at me. I know how to shoot guns. You throw the golf ball up, I can shoot it. One of our men's a good golf player here. He laughed at me, and I honestly got excited about it when he told me about it. He said, "Hey, preacher, you want to go play shotgun golf?" I said, "Yeah. I got four shotguns." He said, no, you don't play shotgun golf that way. I said, "Well, what do you mean? You said shotgun golf. Shotgun, I got one of those. Golf, you got one of those. You hit it, I shoot it. Shotgun golf. Makes perfect sense to me." He said, no, it's the game you play. But he and I have never gone to play golf. We've never parachuted together. Would you do it anyway? You just broke fellowship.
Sorry.
But now watch this, if you will. Listen to me now. But we're good friends. You know why? Because we labor together. Some people, they have the wrong concept of this fellowship. Well, let's come on over. Let's all play games together. That's fellowship. That's very shallow fellowship. When you work a bus route, it's deeper fellowship. When you sing in the choir, it's deeper fellowship. When you come up and clean before a big day, or you come up and clean before a normal day, you're working together. Laboring together, in the yoke together. That's how you really get to know people. When you go soul winning. See, somebody says, "Well, I tell you what, I came to church and I just don't have any friends." Well, people are not commanded to be your friend. You are commanded to be their friend. I think you got it backwards. "Well, nobody wants to be around me." Well, it might be because you're not being around nobody. I'm saying this, watch this, be seated, thank you. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, be the last verse I read. The Bible says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." So how is it that he said that you could have fellowship with us? Is by fellowshipping, by serving him. Because as you serve him, you have fellowship. Okay, on a football team, everybody has their positions that they play. But yet, there's that team spirit of fellowship. Sure it is. On bus routes, you have a driver. You have a bus captain. 5 or 10 workers on a bus route. There's fellowship on that bus route. Come on. The more you get involved, the more you enjoy. Nobody likes to sit on the bench very long while everybody else is having fun. You know, when I saw the video that you did, tremendous, by the way. When I saw the video that he did, I'm thinking, man, I like to do that. That would be worth me learning sign language. Well, that, yeah, that's so neat. When I'm seeing people getting baptized, I'm thinking, man, that's it. Boy, he's got it. 6 churches, 7 churches. I don't know. I didn't catch it all. 19, 20, I'm not sure. But I'm thinking, man, he's got it. He's got it. He was able to take it in and understand. And these reaching people for Christ, did you see all those people sitting together? What were they doing? They're fellowshipping around the word because somebody reached them. You see his kiddos? Kiddos there working on the computer? Yeah, laboring together. There's just something about laboring together that causes that fellowship. Okay, last illustration, your turn. Here we go. So if my primary focus on fellowship is to fellowship with God and his word, then the more time I spend with him, the more he influences me. The more he influences me, the more I can influence him. The more I can influence him. And yes, even the more I can influence him. But if I spend time with a complainer, I pick it up. If I spend time with a critic, I pick it up. If I spend time with the worldly person, I pick it up. Who you spend the most time with will come out. It will. It'll come out. Somebody says, when you pick up a fruit and you squeeze it, whatever the fruit is, that's the juice it produces. Is that right? Would you agree with that? Squeeze an orange, orange juice. Not apple juice. Squeeze a person, Christianity should come out. Not worldliness, not criticism, not, what were you? Not complaining. Okay, so who I am on the inside really comes out when I get squeezed. If the wrong is coming out when I get squeezed, I want to submit to you, it might be because of your fellowship. But if the right thing is coming out when I get squeezed, it might be because who I'm hanging around. So if I hang around God enough when I get squeezed, forgiveness comes out, love comes out, patience comes out, joy comes out. Yeah, being obedient to God comes out. Loving the things, all comes out, doesn't it? Because that's who I'm hanging around. Sure. Some people give excuse. They say, well, I tell you what, the reason I lose my temper inside of my house is because that's the way my daddy did it. Poor excuse. It's not who you did hang around. It's who you presently are hanging around that changes you. So if I hang around the right type of Christian, by the way, if the right type of Christian is walking with God, obeying God, listening to the word of God, doing everything there should be doing and serving God. Listen to me. That Christian is going to have the right type of influence on me. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm not supposed to fellowship with anybody but those that are living for God. Yeah.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. Now, what you can do is you can get them to come your direction. He says, hey, man, let's go down to the movie house. Hey, let's go down and get drunk. Let's go down, whatever he does. I said, I got a better idea. Come on. Come sit beside me in church. Come on, sit right here. You're going to enjoy it. Preacher's going to get up and preach. Man, it's going to be good. You're going to hear people say amen in church.
Amen.
I said, you're going to hear people say amen in church.
Amen.
And that means they like the preaching.
Amen.
Because, see, I'm not the only nut. There's a bunch of us out there. Yeah. I'd rather be with my nuts than your nuts.
Amen.
Because I think your nuts is nuttier than my nuts. So what do I do? And by the way, once I link him to God, I don't have to worry about who's having the most influence in his life then. Once you, don't give up. Parents, please don't give up.
Amen.
Well, my son, my daughter, she's just so worldly. I just don't know what to do. Still bring them to church. Still get them under preaching. You that are sitting here that's a single young person and you're having trouble with worldliness in your life, best thing you can do is stay in church.
That's right. Amen.
Best thing you can do. Amen. Best thing you can do is cut ties with those people that have a worldly influence on you. And start to make friends with those that are walking with God. And let those friends have the right powerful influence in your life. Father, we thank you for tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.